Hey, Steve, I wanted to balance a little comment that you had made the other day regarding voting.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think the Bible gives any admonition for Christians to vote. And I think there's plenty of scriptures that make that evidently clear in both the Old and the New Testament.
Okay,
and
what
are they? A couple of examples that I would use would be in 1 Samuel 8, the children of Israel said, "Give us a king," to Samuel. And Samuel prayed and said, and God said to Samuel, "Give them what they want. Give them what they want, because they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me." Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament, both in Mark and Luke, when Satan was in the wilderness with Jesus, he took Jesus up to a high pinnacle, mount, and told Jesus, "Look, if you just bow down to me, I'll give you all of this." And obviously that's it was Satan's to give to Jesus, as crazy as that may sound. But Jesus didn't vote, if you will. Jesus completely rejected Satan's notion, and Jesus used the scriptures and said, "It is written." So I think there's plenty of evidence, and there's plenty of evidence in Second Chronicles, I believe, Second Chronicles 32, where the arm of the king of Assyria is made of flesh, whereas the children of Israel had the Lord. So voting, in my mind, so for example, if you have a politician that tells you, "I'm against abortion," and this has happened, and they turn around and you vote for them, and then they turn around and change their mind and vote for abortion or something, then what essentially you've done is you've sided with them. And so that's why I think that Christians should completely avoid politics in general. Polemics, if you will, arguments is what caused Satan to fall from heaven. If you read Revelation 12:7-9, is, you know, it was the war of words. And that's what politics is it's a polemics. It's a war of words.
Okay. Well, let me respond to some of that. You may not agree with my response, but I'd like to answer that. I would say the last argument you made seems to be maybe the strongest in my mind, and that is if you vote for somebody, there's a sense in which you're empowering them, and if they end up doing something bad, even though they promise to do something good, they end up doing something bad, well, you've kind of empowered them to do the bad thing they do or whatever they do. It's a little bit like when Paul said not to lay hands prematurely on anybody, lest you become involved in other people's sins. Now, what that means, of course, laying hands means to ordain leaders in the church, in this case, not political leaders, but he's saying don't appoint leaders in the church before they've been vetted and you know them, because once you've laid hands on them, you have empowered them, you've released them, you've authorized them to go out and do what they do, and you don't want to do that to someone that might go out and do things, sinful things, that you'd be then entailed in by having ordained them. Now, I could, that was very much a concern of mine in the years of my early life when I didn't really vote. I was concerned, well, I think all the candidates are bad people. I don't know that any of them are real Christians. They may end up, you know, what if I vote for somebody and he goes off and does something bad? Then I'm kind of connected to that by my vote. And maybe God will hold me responsible for that. So I understand that argument you made. It's actually an argument I myself would have made similarly at some times in my life. Now, I want to talk about the scriptures you brought up, because I think you may be reading different things into them than would be the correct applications to the situation. When God said that Israel in 1 Samuel 8 was rejecting him by wanting a king to reign over them, That's exactly true. God had been their king. Israel was the only nation in the world that did not have or need a king because they had God as their king. And that was how he wanted it to be. He didn't want them to have another king. And therefore, by saying to Samuel, give us a king to reign over us like all the nations, they were basically saying, okay, we don't want God to be our king like he's been all these years. We want to have something more, you know, worldly, more like a worldly kingdom. Now, I don't see that as a parallel to anyone voting in America. First of all, we don't have any kings in America, and that's a very big difference because, you know, a king was a sovereign. An earthly king would be a sovereign. You're basically putting this person over your life if you appoint a king. Now, presidents and congressmen and, you know, political officials, they're not really over our life. They're over the government, but they're not over our life. Jesus is over our life, and we know that well enough that if they told us to do something we knew was evil, we wouldn't obey them, because we're not putting them over our life. We're putting somebody in a position to govern the nation, which is not Christianity. The nation is not Christianity. It's a secular nation. It's a nation that's not specifically Christian. So one might say, well, we don't have any. We shouldn't even care who governs it. Well, maybe we shouldn't. However, if we do love our neighbor as we love ourselves, we might want, if we are in a position to do so, to support an administration that will make life a blessing to the nations and to our offspring and to our neighbors and so forth. This is loving our neighbor by exercising the responsibility we have, or at least the stewardship we have, in choosing a temporary manager of political, things that have to be managed. And it's not like Israel was choosing one earthly king over another earthly king. They were rejecting God in favor of an earthly king. Now, when you vote, you're not rejecting God and putting a king or even a president in his place. You're simply choosing which person will be the president. There's going to be a president. This nation was not set up as the kingdom of God. This nation is not Israel. God has never been the king of America, nor has anyone else. But America has always had a president, and those who vote help to decide whether it be a better or a worse president. Now, some Christians might say, well, that's none of our concern because our citizenship is in heaven. What do we care about who's president here? Well, it may have a lot to do with whether, let's just say, there's a nuclear war or not. Now, if there is a nuclear war, because we have some president who's absolutely foolish and provokes nuclear powers to engage us in nuclear war, that's a lot worse for the world. I mean, we don't mind dying, but there's a whole lot of people who aren't ready to die around us who could die or be, injured or become widows or orphans, in a war, which if you had a different president who doesn't get us into those kinds of wars, you would have done something, a blessing for humanity. And there is, it is to be that we should bless all the nations. First of all, we want to bless them with the knowledge of the gospel, to be sure. But even if we can't, I mean, the Good Samaritan, and Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan to say, this is what you should do. This is how you love your neighbors yourself. He didn't actually evangelize the Jew who had fallen among thieves. The Samaritan helped him. He helped him have survive, helped him to recover. He helped him in very practical ways. And Jesus, who was with that story, illustrating what it means to love your neighbors yourself, he said, now you go and do likewise. So I believe that helping people in ways besides evangelizing them, helping them if they're hungry. I mean, certainly James said, if your brother is naked and destitute of daily food and you just say, God bless you, and you don't feed him and help him, how is that? How's that love? How is that faith? So, I mean, clearly the New Testament doesn't just say, we're just here to evangelize and who cares? All awful things that happen to the people around us. Well, God cares, and so do we, if we're like God. So did Jesus. Jesus cared, too. That's why he saw hungry people and sick people and wandering sheep, and he had compassion on them. So should we. So choosing which man will be president or woman is not parallel to choosing whether America is going to have a king, an earthly king, or whether God's going to be our king. God as our earthly king is not one of the options. And we're not voting for the governance of the kingdom of God. We're talking about the governance of a secular nation, but we are part of that nation. And it is set up in such a way that we have some say, maybe not as much as we should, but we have some say in whether we have good government or bad government. And I think that, when you have that opportunity, you will have a stewardship of responsibility. When you talk about how, you know, the devil said to Jesus, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world, and Jesus didn't do it. Yeah, but you remember what the condition was. If Satan said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. For Jesus to possess all the kingdoms of the world is not actually a bad thing. In fact, in Revelation 11:15, that's exactly what's going to happen. According to Revelation 11, it says the time will come when the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So Jesus actually is destined to reign over the kingdoms of this world. The problem was that Satan was offering him that very thing, not a bad thing that was being offered, but the conditions were unacceptable. Bow down and worship me. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. And remember what Jesus said. He said, it is written. He didn't say, it is written, you shall not rule over kingdoms of the world. No, he said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and none other. So it was the terms that were being offered that Jesus rejected. It was not the kingdoms of this world. He's going to have those anyway. So I don't think that that's a parallel to the question either. It's not like Jesus showed no interest in ruling the world. He's going to rule the world. He certainly had no interest in doing it on those terms. And so I guess what I'd say is that we don't have a parallel there. In fact, there's no parallel to the American experiment in any part of Scripture or any part of history prior to America, where a government was set up that's governed by the citizenry, a government by the people, for the people, and so forth, in which the people who hold office are not the rulers. The people are the rulers. The people who hold office are the public servants, and they work for us. We're not their servants. They're ours. We are their bosses. We pay their bills. That's what our taxes do. We pay their salaries, and we choose whether they're going to be in power or not. This is a totally different kind of a setup politically than any other nation had before, and it was an experiment at the time, and it's worked out pretty well for the past 200 years. But the real issue is, do Christians have a stake in it? Do Christians have a stake in what kind of leaders we have? Now, I'll agree with you that, you know, if we vote for people that we have every reason to not trust them to do right, then I think we bear some responsibility for that. On the other hand, we can be deceived by people, and it's not our fault if we're deceived. If somebody has a record that says they're going to oppose abortion, and then they've been lying all the time, that's not really our fault that they lied to us. When you are deceived, it's the fault of the person who deceived you, unless you had a very good reason to not be deceived and you ignored that reason. But you see, I want us to see people govern us who do not sponsor abortion. But let's just say there's two candidates and both of them are going to just let abortion continue. Well, shame on them. They'll have to answer to God for that. It's a horrible thing. No person should permit that. But let's say they both are. But one of them is going to, let's say, start a nuclear war, and the other one is not. Okay, well, abortion's a big issue, but it's not the only issue. Certainly, it's a big enough one to choose between one candidate and another if they differ on it. But if I vote for a candidate, let's say, and lo and behold, he's lied about where he stands, and he doesn't oppose abortion. Well, but I know that the guy that I didn't vote for, he wasn't going to oppose abortion either. The other question is, well, besides abortion, what is of importance? There are some things. Suppose that one of them is going to sponsor, let's just say one of them is going to abolish the Department of Education. Well, that'd be a wonderful thing. I might vote for a person just on that, but I'm not sure. What I'm saying is that we do have ability and therefore responsibility to govern in the things we have. You know, in the Bible, if a man was king, like David or Josiah, he was responsible to wield that authority in a righteous way. Now, in this country, the citizens are the kings. They're the ones who rule. They're the ones who hire the administrators of the government, presidents and Congress and so forth. And so we have been born with that kind of power and authority. And, you know, if you're born Josiah, king of Judah, you'd have a responsibility before God to govern righteously. But you were born a citizen of a country where the citizens are the rulers. And you have that rule. Now, you can just say, well, I don't believe in anyone. I won't vote for anyone. And I could understand that. There's certainly been elections where I've taken that stand, too. But there are times when there could be a clear choice. So I'm not saying all Christians should go out and vote all the time. I think there are elections where, you know, it's, you know, I don't know, you're going to get a rat or a skunk. But there may be times when there's a notable difference in the way your children and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren will live, either under tyranny or in peace. And, you know, a vote would have something to do with it. The Bible does not forbid voting. So the question then is, in any given election, is there some responsibility to choose something that will work out better for humanity and for the citizenry? Yeah, God is concerned about humanity. And he wants us to be concerned about our neighbor. Our neighbor includes Russians and Ukrainians and North Koreans and South Koreans and, you know, Chinese and Brazilians and Venezuelans and, you know, Israelis and Arabs. Those, they're our neighbors. They're our neighbors on the planet, and we have to love our neighbors. So I think loving our neighbor does include doing what we can, what's in our power, to try to bless them, to try to help, you know, feed them if they're hungry, clothe them if they're naked, deliver them if they're under tyranny and oppression, if we can, you know, as long as it doesn't involve us, compromising any Christian duty. I think that it's a good thing.